Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major. That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke to pizza, it's all on Wonder. Use code WONDER50P for 50% off your first two orders on Wonder. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today. Terms apply. See wonder.com/newcustomer for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, buddy, we got us a big one down at the Razor on Sunday. The Yinsburg Stillers with Aaron Rodgers check in to take on the suddenly sexy New England Patriots, who are coming off an impressive, or if you say accidental, whichever way you look at it, it was a big win in Miami last Sunday. Now they're looking to string together two in a row and get their first home dub for Drake May and Mike Vrabel in 2025. Exactly what kind of game are we going to see? Who's going to come out on top? And will Christian Gonzalez play after all? We got Mego in the house to help us get this Pats preview party started right. And then on the second half of the pod, we'll be joined by the one and only Andrew Filippone, the Pony Express from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, for a little behind enemy lines action. So much good Patriots preview pod to come. Let's get this Six Rings party started.
Hey, whatever it takes, man.
It's all about winning, all right? Win it on three. One, two, three, win!
Celebrating the heroes of Foxborough's past.
And with a good block. Look at Grover. All the way. Watch the block of number 73, John Hanna.
The champions of the dynastic era.
And a Vinatieri boots a 48-yard field goal. And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
The Patriots of tomorrow.
We're going to remove entitlement from our football team. We're going to earn the right to be here every single day.
And the fans whose faith never wavers.
Let's go!
This is Six Rings and Football Things.
Oh, is it Sunday yet? We can hardly wait. Funny how just one W, a single game, can change the mood of a nation and a fan base in football. How we doing, everybody? Your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens here alongside the majesty, the magical, Miss Megan Onilini, the legend of Mego herself here on Six Rings and Football Things. And we're looking forward to chatting with you guys today on this live streamed episode across the Fitzy GFY and WEEI socials, talking about Patriots Steelers from our perspective. And then in a few minutes, we'll get into the Steelers side of things. Mego, the Steelers, you know, I don't want to put the cat before the proverbial horse, but the, you know, you'd think Aaron Rodgers, Steelers, it's such an odd marriage, such an odd fit. They look so good week one against the Jets, but that was a revenge match. Like that was a Texas tornado match for Aaron Rodgers to go into New York and beat the team that had the audacity of actually signing him and paying him all that money for 2 years. And then they lay an egg in week two. It's such a curious marriage, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, I think any marriage, football or impending otherwise, involving Aaron Rodgers is going to be extremely curious. You know, for as obnoxious as I find a lot of his off the field stuff, in talking to guys in the locker room this week defensively, they know that he's still one of the brightest minds in the league. And even though he can't necessarily take off and be the threat that he was 15 years ago, he can still sling it. And so I think it can be kind of like it's such an any given Sunday scenario with this particular matchup, because it's like, which Rodgers is going to show up? Is it going to be week one? Is it going to be more like the guy that you saw with the Jets the second time that you played them last year, where you handed them a very rare loss? I should say rare win for the Patriots last season.
Right. That was the game where if fans forget
to show up.
Right. That was the game where Drake May was knocked out of the game early and Jacoby Brissett in relief, even though the win goes to Drake. We all know Jacoby Brissett actually got the dub for the Pats on that day.
He let us know.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I am quite sure he let everybody know. But we'll get into more of the Steelers side of the tracks in just a few minutes when Andrew Filippone from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh joins us. Let's talk about what's going on in Patriots Nation. So like we said at the top of the show here, what a difference a week makes, and what a difference a footstep makes. Because if, you know, Devon Achane doesn't step out of bounds on the way out, it's moral victory Monday, and I can't believe the Patriots lost to Tua again, and oh, Miami continues to be their house of horrors. Or maybe they come back for a last-minute field goal, or maybe Borregales misses another one. Who knows? It could have gone a million different ways. The way it ended up was Pat's Larry Bird, Finn's 27. I think there were enough positives, even with some defensive lapse and a lot of things that could be cleaned up in Isle Vrabel. I think there were enough positives to walk away from that game, specifically on the offensive side of the ball, and say, hey, you know what? I think I saw something there. I think that's one to grow on, specifically Josh's play calling and Drake's execution of it.
Yeah. And I would throw in the offensive line there too, Fitzy. Look, it's been a while since we've been hyper critical of Will Campbell, and I think he deserves credit for that. Now, I think the big question for me as we talk about Drake's fabulous performance in week two, really you couldn't ask that guy to do much more, is that a case of closer to who he's going to be overall this season, or is that because he was only pressured 10% of the time that he dropped back when he faced the Dolphins, and the Dolphins have such a bad defense. Now we right. have a little bit more information from the Thursday night football game last night.
A conveniently timed Thursday night game to allow us to collect more data. Do we feel even better now? Hey, Josh Allen, tell you what, Drake May put up more points on him, and he did it in their house. How you like them apples, huh?
Yeah. So I'm definitely feeling better about the offense. And I think people should. I think it's hard this time of year because we take what we saw, Fitzy, in training camp. And even that was months ago at this point. And you see, okay, week one to week two, it's such a dramatic jump for this offense. And how much of that is who they played. And you got to give them credit for being down in Miami, where it's like this horrible, basically greenhouse that they're playing in, and their first game on the road. Give them credit for that. Are they going to be a team that marches out and consistently puts up 30 plus points? I wouldn't go that far. But I think the things that you can take that are real are, I do think Drake May is closer to that guy than in week one, who he was.
Right.
And I do think that the offensive line showed themselves capable in that game, and they deserve credit for that.
Yeah, they did. Look, you know, I know there are those who live and die by their metrics and analytics, and there are those who say, PFF, please, I don't want to hear anything about it. But Jared Wilson and Will Campbell both had clean sheets on Sunday. They both received more than passing grades. They received high grades. Like they, yes, I know there are still false starts. There are neutral zone infractions. There are a lot of little things to clean up. It's not perfect, but nobody said it had to be perfect at this point. Just like would like they, this is their third NFL start coming up. We need to see that they're making progress. We need to see that they belong on the field, and we need to see Drake May able to compose himself and execute in the pocket more often than he's on his ass or running for his life. So I think, you know, bravo HT to the offensive line, to Doug Marrone as well, who I think is doing some badass work behind the scenes for a team that has a whole bunch of new coordinators all over the board. And sadly has seen their defensive coordinator take leave of absence, likely due to an illness, and watch the linebackers coach get promoted to defensive play caller under the tutelage of their head coach, Mike Vrabel, who himself was a defensive coordinator at one point as well. There's a lot of swirling dynamics. And the funny thing is, the Pats got that win in a game that had a ton of swirling dynamics. They come out early. They look picture perfect. They go for it on fourth down on the first drive, made a digs, brilliantly done. Ramondre, or as my buddy calls him, Ramondre the Giant, stepped back and let everyone know that like he's a part of the offensive picture again, which is great. They take an early lead. Miami storms back. Borregales has the misses. Miami takes the lead in the second half. The Pats get the lead. Then special teams break down, and then the Gibson return, your boy Gibson with a 90-yarder, and the now iconic image of Vrabel running down the sideline with him. And then they hold on for dear life. Like that game gave you everything that you wanted and then some, but it showed that for a young team that is finding its footing with draft picks, high price free agents, Vrabros, scrap heap guys, and a couple dudes who hung on from the previous regimes, they found a way to win. That's the key takeaway for me. You have to find a way to win because it sure as hell isn't easy in the NFL.
Yeah, and I do think that there is something real to that. You know, it sounds kind of rah-rah. Nobody would expect that from you, Fitzy. It sounds a little rah-rah, but
The old Foxborough fanboy himself,
It's true. Like, it is important. I think what's tough at this point in the season, and it's very early, is that what you saw also in that game, especially on the defensive side of the ball and special teams, but let's focus on defense because it's supposed to be Vrabel's calling card. There was a lot of bad football. And that's the thing that Vrabel harped on when he first came to Foxborough, when he first took this job in the winter. You got 14 missed tackles last week. You got 11 the week before. You got Robert Spillane looking totally overmatched playing inside linebacker. And that's not something that we predicted. And with Spillane himself, I think what's a little concerning is that's a guy who is such a workhorse. And it's not for lack of effort, you know? So you wonder, is like, where is that coming from? And is that something that he can fix? Because it's not like he's not focused. He's not following through. He doesn't have his fundamentals down. He's getting sloppy.
No, the guy is Mr. Energy, Effort, and Attitude. The guy lives, eats, breathes, sleeps football. And it is very curious, Mego, to see on a Patriots defense that we thought would start hotter than the offense, and now the offense has a great first game before the defense does. Though, you know, once again, props and hip hops to Milton Williams for the big sack to ice the game last week. That guy's earning his money. That guy is a very pleasant surprise.
I agree, Fitzy. And here's the thing that's interesting to me is, do you feel like, just from the eye test, like all stats apart, do you feel like the Patriots are putting enough pressure, striking enough fear in the hearts of the quarterbacks that they're seeing?
No, not just yet. Like late in the game, you heard Aaron Rodgers this week in his assessment and a post-practice presser. He said, yeah, it looks like a Mike Vrabel defense, you know, 2-97, identifying Harold Landry and Milton Williams by number. Said they look like they're balling out. They're validating the paychecks they got brought in to play for, you know. But I think Rodgers kind of has, like, watching the first two games, I think he sees where the pressure is going to come from. I think he has an idea of where they're going to want to attack. Now, it's funny that the defensive line, they lead the NFL with 7 sacks. So they're intermittently putting high pressure on the quarterback. Not constantly, but at the right time, they're getting sacks and they're making moves. Whereas the linebacking core, you got Christian Ellis and Robert Spillane leading the NFL with 6 and 8 missed tackles, respectively. So the D-line needs to keep up their job. against a semi-suspect Steelers O-line, the linebackers need to actually start doing their job, because if they're not on their game and they soften up a zone Sunday, whether or not they have Gonzo, Rodgers will just pick them apart all day long.
Yeah, I think he hit the nail on the head. I think that's exactly it. And then on top of that, you have your coverage issues in the secondary, which again, months ago, when we were starting out in minicamp, we're talking about how that might be the only elite area of this team. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you get a big shakeup among the safeties. You were going to see Jabril Peppers in black and yellow on Sunday. And
yeah, it's a little bit of a homecoming game. That's right.
Waiting to see what's going to go on with Christian Gonzalez. So there's a lot of question marks for me around this defense. That's kind of what I'm most curious about going into this particular game, because I am coming off of last Sunday's game feeling much, much more confident about the direction that the offense is going in, and the marriage between Josh McDaniels and Drake May and Mike Vrabel, throw that in there.
Yeah.
It's a polyamorous marriage.
But this is an open football affair. We're currently seeing other people and we're okay. Lots of love. Hey, you, as always, doing an amazing job going down there, working the beat, getting great interviews in the locker room, talking to Diggs, Pop, Drake, et cetera. What's your feel? If you had to, like, let's say, open up, you know, your wagering application on your mobile computer phone-like device and place a bet on whether or not we see Christian Gonzalez on Sunday, this is the most debated and overspoke topic in football right now, or at least in Patriots football right now. What would you say?
Okay, I want to be clear. I'm not giving wagering advice.
Okay, I don't. But if you just happen to, like, you know,
enact on that, I'm not a betting person. But I just, my own opinion from being down there and seeing how they've handled him throughout this injury, I think he's going to play on Sunday. Ooh. Now, is it going to be limited snap count? Probably. This is a guy who they got to be careful with. And how do you get back into game shape when you've been out since July 28th, even if you're a top flight athlete like Christian Gonzalez? So I think those are the considerations more than anything. But Fitzy, how many of these games do you have left? You know, he's got to get back in there at some point. If they're throwing him out there on Wednesday, and we as the media at this point in the year only get to see a very limited sliver of practice.
Yeah, you get, like, what do you guys get open access to? 75 or 90 minutes or?
Oh,
15 20? Of the 90 minutes. Yeah, that's right.
20 minutes some days. So I'm just, this is my opinion. Mm-hmm. This is me predicting, but I think that he's going to be out there. I don't think they'd be trotting him out there starting on Wednesday and working him back into the process this week if they didn't have an intention of at least putting him on the field on Sunday. Whether he's going to have the impact that he had in 17 games last year, looking like an all-pro and looking in shape and locking down whatever side he's on opposite of Carlton Davis, I don't know that we're going to see that right away, but I am going to predict that he'll be out there.
Okay, I like it. I think a limited snap count would make a lot of sense, just to start easing him into the game plan. Now, look, you could hold him out one more week and say, no, we want him fully healthy with less of a challenge in Carolina, but they've got good wide receivers. They just don't really have much else. Not that that really even matters. Sunday presents a challenge because you got some smaller fleet of foot guys in Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson. You got a good tight end in Freiermuth. Jalen Warren's an excellent pass catching back. But of course, the big challenge is somebody who has burned the Pats once and often before. That's someone who came in and scored a big streaky TD last year in one DK Metcalf and his 8-pack. I'm not sure if Gonzo can't go. I'm not sure. I'm like really not sure exactly how the Pats will handle it. Like, if Gonzo, as somebody suggested in the chat, as we do a live Six Rings and football things here, if Gonzo plays, maybe it's like third downs and big plays, maybe like he gets 20 snaps or something and they try to, you know, use him as part of a double team. I don't know. Like, if he can't go and they're just being extra, extra cautious, would you just isolate Carlton Davis on him? Are we going to maybe roll a double team on DK on the big plays and just say we're not getting beat? Because then that's where my fear comes in, that Rodgers is just going to keep the Steelers on the field by picking you apart, death by a thousand short pass paper cuts.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely prefer that to the defense giving up chunk plays again. I think I feel a little bit better about if Gonzo can't go, his absence against DK Metcalf after watching Bills Dolphins last night.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Where I was worried that the Patriots might have given Tyreek Hill his final thrill. Not to sound like
yeah, that's right.
But last
they did
week,
help him break his 30-yard reception.
Exactly. Streak. And then you saw him ball out last night. So I was like, okay, well, maybe Tyreek's just kind of back a little bit. Maybe the Cheetah's back to like 75%. But I think that no matter what you do, that's somebody who becomes part of the chess match. And Aaron Rodgers knows that. And again, because he is, as he grows older, more limited in what he can do if he ever has to leave the pocket, I think that you prefer him trying to chip away at the defense through the quick game rather than giving up chunk plays to DK Metcalf. To me, that just feels kind of obvious. It's a matter of whether you can execute that, though, because, again, your linebackers are having difficulty tackling.
Right.
And your coverage has been blown up at different points through these first 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll see. Do they put in Mapu more on Sunday? Will they have Kyle Duggar play and cheat down the box to help them fill in the middle of the field? A lot of questions in this great rivalry matchup, possibly the last time we'll see Aaron Rodgers in Foxborough as well.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now from Yinsburg to help us preview this game, we're going behind enemy lines with friend of our boss man. They used to actually work the beat together. Of course, you guys know him from 93.7, The Fan in Pittsburgh. The Pony Express himself, the one and only Andrew Filippone. Welcome you to Six Rings of Football Things. What's up, buddy? Thanks for chiming in today.
Well, I'm already going to take exception with a couple things. Number one,
there we go.
It's not a rivalry. The Steelers never beat the Patriots in games that count. They haven't won in New England since 08. They only won that game because Matt Cassel was at quarterback and Bernard Pollard took care of business for the Steelers. They should have sent him a Super Bowl ring when the Steelers won that title in 08. As far as your boss goes, I'm fairly certain for the first 2 years we knew each other, he hated me with a very strong passion.
Why?
Because, you know, I'm not a company punch guy. I'm somebody who might rock the boat a little bit, and I think that might have offended his sensibilities back then. But I think Ken has evolved, and I think maybe now he appreciates that a little bit more. But I don't know if young Ken did. I think his early 30s might have been a little perturbed by that.
Yeah, Ken is just for everyone who's either watching live right now or listening to the latest Six Rings and Football Things. Andrew Filippone, who does an awesome job on the radio. Is it the Cover 22? What is it? All 22 with Patrick Peterson?
I don't know All 22. I do. It's called First in Pod.
First in Pod.
Asking me to do All 22 would be really an affront to football. So no, I don't do any of the deep X's and O's stuff, but it's called First in Pod. We do every game every week on there.
Yeah, that's great. Patrick, you guys do an awesome job on that pod too. But Andrew and our boss, Ken Laird, who you also hear frequently on WEEI, used to work together in Pittsburgh a long time ago. And when I asked this week, like, I'd love somebody who's not afraid to mix it up and have some fun on the pod this week. He's like, gotta have the Pony Express. Andrew does a great job, but you know, Ken plays it like nice and straight down, you know, has a proper sensibility. Like Ken, put it this way, our boss's foods don't touch each other on the plate, whereas the rest of us are just happy to like put the gravy and potatoes and the peas and the corn and the barbecue sauce all over the place and just enjoy us a proper plate of football, right?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be that for the Steelers on Sunday. The line to me in this game makes zero sense. I have no idea why the Steelers are favored. They've done nothing. I'm serious. They've done nothing to deserve that. They won a game against the Jets by a 60-yard field goal at the horn, and then we saw the Jets against the Bills the following week score 3 points with Justin Fields in the game before Tyrod Taylor came in.
Yep.
So I don't really understand it whatsoever. I don't even think the Steelers are a better coach team than the Patriots. I don't know how you could fashion that argument after watching them lose a game on Sunday because a return man did not understand the rule of what to do when you botch and bumble a play in the in that whatever they call that zone now. Is it the landing zone, the fielding zone, whatever that zone is? He screwed up, and then Seattle recovered in the end zone for an easy touchdown.
Yeah, that Caleb Johnson, right?
Yes. Who we'll see if he plays. This might be one of these doghouse moves by Mike Tomlin, which he's done that before with guys, and then they never come out of it, and it ends up being a wasted draft pick.
Andrew, I'm wondering, I mean, I think just out of the gate, what people want to know is who to expect to show up under center. Like, which Aaron Rodgers are we getting? Because even, like, I go down and talk to the guys in the locker room, and they're saying, well, you got to be prepared for his mind still. And we talk about the hard count, the cadence, all of it. Do you think that he's somebody who can still pick apart a Patriots defense who, quite frankly, even though it's a Mike Vrabel defense, is still figuring it out? Like, their defensive line, we were just talking about, has been very strong through the first two games, but the rest of this defense still has a lot of questions lingering.
From that vantage point, like that part of the game, yes, I'll answer the question very directly. Like, I think Aaron Rodgers will recognize the fact that Robert Spillane couldn't cover my 92-year-old grandmother.
Ouch. She's very athletic, I hear, though.
And he's
he didn't just have walking pneumonia, but she's doing a little bit better now. Oh. But before that, she used to run marathons and things of that nature, including the Boston Marathon back in the day. But anyways.
Shout out, Graham.
Yeah, the safeties have been abysmal. I don't understand why Jabril Peppers is here and not there with you guys. I saw, who was it, Hawkins get beat for an 80-yard touchdown in the first game. And Christian Gonzalez, is he going to play? What do we know on that? Is he in? Is he out? Is he going to play?
I predict that he's going to play. Okay. He's been limited in practice this week, but it's the first week that he's practiced. I think he's going to play because they started trotting him out there for us on Wednesday. Uh-huh. I think, though, it's a question of game shape, and he'll be on a pretty limited snap.
Okay. Now. So, yeah, other than him, you've got a lot of guys who Aaron Rodgers could potentially exploit. However, the reason why I'm not bullish on that is because their offensive line is not going to be able to block the Patriots' defensive front. It's just not happening. Between Landry and Milton Williams and those guys, this offensive line is going to get Aaron Rodgers killed. He's on pace to get sacked almost 60 times, and he's getting rid of the ball faster than any quarterback in the NFL. So you can't just say to him, hey, these guys stink. As soon as you get it, throw it, because he's already doing that, and it's still getting him blown up a lot of the time. So that's really where the Steelers' problems offensively start and end, is that you've got, for all they've invested in their offensive line, it's a sieve unit, and that's not a match when you have a quarterback who's, you know, almost at AARP age.
Sitting duck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that my company line is always like the QB is now officially closer to AARP than he is NCAA. And that's just the fact, like Rodgers is in his 40s, so he shouldn't be that mobile in the first place. And, you know, he was like Russell Wilson in the sense that like he knew when to run and how to move back in the heyday. But you're 2 years removed from an Achilles and in your early 40s with a bad offensive line, no matter how brilliantly or Neo, like you can see the field and pick apart the Patriots zone defense matrix. Like if Harold Landry, who's been balling out, and Milton Williams, who's been better than advertised, both heavily compensated in the offseason, as Rodgers reminded us this week. If they can get home, that, I think, is the Patriots' best laid plans. But on the other, as far as trying to slow down the Steelers' offense, you know, DK Metcalf, old nemesis as well, Calvin Austin having a nice season. What's up with the Steelers? Before we get into how the Pats' offense may attack the Steelers' defense, what's up with the Steelers' run game? Is it, has it shown up yet? Is it on the side of a milk carton? What's going on?
By the way, I've never seen any of the Matrix movies. So I
you think haven't
Matrix. No, I mean, there was one he made, the whole like red pill, blue pill thing. I don't get any of that stuff.
Oh, man, don't lost. Get into that, please.
Yeah. What are you talking about? It's great American cinema. It's brilliant. All right.
Anyway. We don't need to talk about who's red pilled or blue pilled.
Yeah, I've not seen any of those movies. Anyways,
all right.
Their run game, it's very, it's really, I think, a huge, It's a humiliating look for Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin because they've put so much into it and they've gotten nothing out of it. The tackles are first round picks. The center is a second round pick. The left guard, Isaac Seumalo, came over from Philadelphia. And they have been, other than I think Cincinnati and Tennessee, the worst team in the NFL at running the ball. Mm-hmm. Now, I think Jaylen Warren is a significant upgrade over Najee Harris, who they let walk in free agency. It's not his fault. He made a play that Aaron Rodgers called the best catch and run he has seen in like 15 years against Seattle. And they didn't score on that drive because of an idiotic move by Calvin Austin to run the wrong route. And he turned a touchdown into an interception. But their run game looked like it was going to suck in training camp when they would go against their own run defense, which is, by the way, atrocious. They couldn't run the ball at all in the preseason when the starting offensive line played against second and third stringers, and that has carried over into the regular season. So there's literally no proof of concept that this is ever going to work. And Mike Tomlin wants to run the ball, and the offensive coordinator is labeled as a coach who specializes in the run, but we're finding out that was probably a lot more of Derrick Henry than it was any kind of thing conceptually that Arthur Smith was bringing to the table. So the Patriots have not been run on at all this year. Teams have passed on them. Ashton Jenny couldn't do anything against them. So Achane in Miami as well. So I would anticipate that trend carries over into this game as well. I don't think Pittsburgh's going to be able to do anything on the ground.
Mego, before your next question, I just want to ask, are we talking about the 2008 Detroit Lions or the 2025 Pittsburgh Steelers?
Because I'm so over this team. This team reminds me in many respects as a better version of where you guys were at in the final years of the Belichick regime, where it's very played out. It's extremely stale. You pretty much know what the ending is going to be when the season starts. The ceiling for this team is like 10-7 in an ass kicking in the wild card round, best case scenario. And it's been that way for years, even going back to the final few years of the Ben Roethlisberger era. Guys, Bill O'Brien, Mike Mularkey, and Doug Marrone have won playoff games more recently than Mike Tomlin. I mean, that's how long it's been, seriously, since he's won his last playoff game. Every team in the AFC North has won a playoff game, including the Browns more recently than them. The Browns won a playoff game against the Steelers when their coach was watching on COVID at home, and he didn't realize that he had the game on delay, that he had paused it. He only figured it out because his family upstairs was cheering for things that he hadn't seen happen yet. They lost that playoff game. They were down 28-0. So, and the other thing that I'll just quickly say here that's reminiscent of the Belichick thing is even though there's technically a GM here, it's all Tomlin. Tomlin picks the players. He drafts the players. He functions as a head coach and a GM. He's basically the czar of everything with the Steelers. And so that's where my frustration lies with him, that the national media.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
And makes it out like he's God's gift to football, and he really hasn't been for a long time.
So I'm curious, ooh, because I think that that's a lot of great points there from you. I'm a Tomlin fan. The way that he deals with the media, carries himself, all of that, his relation to his players. But I totally agree with a lot of what you're saying there. I'm curious from the Pittsburgh perspective, as you guys look at this game and everything that's happened in New England over the last several years and the turnover from last year, especially now to Mike Vrabel. It feels like from a national perspective, there has been this immediate crowning of, okay, Vrabel's going to come in and save the Patriots and write their culture and all this stuff. Among your media cohort, is it the same feeling about Vrabel and the Patriots, or is there more skepticism / cynicism there?
No, I'm a huge fan. I mean, I can't speak for everybody. I don't really think that many of my colleagues have good opinions, so I'm not going to try to justify and speak for them here. I'll speak for myself. I thought immediately when Vrabel was hired and then McDaniels was brought in as the offensive coordinator that New England was going to be a surprise team this year. I've actually been a little bit disappointed in how they've played through the first two games, the Raiders game especially, and then Miami, you know, needing Antonio Gibson to take a ball back 90 yards to get out of there with a win, even though that's been kind of a house of horrors for the Patriots, for a very long time, even going back to the Brady years. I think that this team can win 10 games and make the playoffs. I think their schedule allows for it. Like, I haven't done like an analysis of their schedule since the season has started. But I know before the season started, I thought it was one that could, you know, lead to 10, 11 wins. I love Drake May, and I think Drake May is getting the coaching he needs now, which, you know, to tie it back to the team I cover, is what also drives me nuts about the Steelers. They do not have an environment here, an incubator, to develop a quarterback. That's why they had to go out and bring a 41-year-old in. They drafted Kenny Pickett in the first round. Their offensive coordinator was a guy named Matt Canada, who is a college coordinator nomad. He spent 1 year at Pitt. He produced the best season in Pitt football history offensively. He went to LSU, got immediately fired, got replaced by Joe Brady, who turned out to be a legitimate offensive mind. We see what he's doing with the Bills now. And he was really only here because he had recruited Mike Tomlin's son to the University of Maryland. Mm-hmm. And that's where their relationship started. And so he gets the job here. He's so bad at it, guys. He's been out of football for 2 years. No one has hired him. And it's not like he's getting paid by the Steelers. He can just kick up his feet and relax. No one has brought him in as like an offensive consultant or assistant. And that's the guy they tasked with developing their first-round quarterback. And that's kind of reminiscent of Matt Patricia coaching the offense with you guys and things like that. Like, how does a coach like Mike Tomlin, who gets plaudits and rave reviews around the league, how is he that stupid? Where he trusted that guy. The other thing that drives me nuts about Tomlin is in 18 years, he's never had an assistant coach get hired as a head coach. And people will laugh at Bill Belichick's coaching tree, Romeo Crennel, Joe Judge, etc. At least teams thought there were people underneath him who were qualified to run football teams. In 18 years, no one has hired a Mike Tomlin assistant, which tells you he doesn't surround himself with great assistant coaches. And that's a problem. Guys like Todd Bowles and Sean McVay and these guys, they find great assistant coaches. Mike Tomlin has not been able to do that.
Yeah. And in New England, what we love doing is collecting old Pittsburgh linebackers to play prominent positions on the defense or coach the football team, which is exactly what we have with Spillane and Vrabel as well. I just wish you would tell us how you really feel about the team, Andrew. But
yeah, you're predicting Pittsburgh win here?
Absolutely not. No, not at all.
Okay, before we wrap up and get our predictions and close out this awesome Behind Enemy Lines segment of the latest Six Rings and Football Things, real quick, is it still like, I know it's a different defensive coordinator, but you're telling us like a lot of the overarching principles are still Tomlin-esque that pervade the entire team. So is this like a variation, just like Josh McDaniels' offense is it's a cookbook that's been passed down from Charlie Weiss to McDaniels to Bill O'Brien, et cetera. So is this defense still like Dick LeBeau-esque or like from the Dick LeBeau blueprint?
Well, that's actually a very good question in terms of how you phrased it, because Mike Tomlin was a 4-3 cover two defensive coach who had worked under Tony Dungy. And I will actually give him credit for something here for the first time in this conversation. When he took over as Steelers head coach, he either was told and followed along or was smart enough to let Bruce Arians, who was then the offensive coordinator from Bill Cowher, and Dick LeBeau, who was the defensive coordinator from Bill Cowher, stick around and basically run their own shows. And that ended up fostering a really good relationship between Ben Roethlisberger and Bruce Arians that got a little too nice and a little too cozy, and that's why Bruce Arians got fired. And Dick LeBeau just kind of aged out, and they pushed him out, but they let him run his defense. I don't know why my dogs are getting all worked up about this. But anyway, so to make a very long story short here, when LeBeau retired, they did kind of keep a lot of the principles of his defense. The problem is, like, Mike Tomlin has designed it and called the plays the entire time. He doesn't take responsibility for it. He doesn't take accountability for it. But everybody around the team knows that he's really the team's defensive coordinator. So when their defense plays well, he should get the credit for it. And when it stinks like it does right now, he should get the blame. They've spent $158 million on defensive players. They are 29th in the league in scoring defense. Over their last 10 games, they've given up 27.9 points per game. They've given up over 100 yards rushing in both of these first two games. Kenneth Walker averaged 8 yards a carry against them last week. They became the first team in NFL history on a third and goal from the 19-yard line to give up a rushing touchdown. Seattle was playing for a field goal to go up 10, and the dude scored untouched to go up two touchdowns. That's how pathetic this defense has been, and frankly, it's unacceptable because you've got T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, Jalen Ramsey, Darius Slay, Patrick Queen, all these all pros, and right now, and for a very long time now, they've played like one of the worst defenses in the NFL, and that's on Mike Tomlin.
Hey, Siri, set a reminder to have me bet all the Pats offensive props later today. Thank you.
Well, definitely their running backs. You want Travion Henderson and Ramondre Stevenson props and fantasy stuff for sure.
All right, let's wrap it with a quick prediction. Andrew, thank you so much for the time, candor, the fire, the fury. It's been awesome. What do you, we'll go with you first. What do you, how do you see it shaking out Sunday?
I see 42-3, Patriot.
It's going to be that close.
I was just telling somebody this the other day. We were ranking the top five, our top five most hated Patriots of the last 25 years. And I put the guys on my list who dress up like old Patriots and fire off the guns at the games.
The musket militia, the touchdown militia.
I hate
militia?
Those guys. They haven't been playing in 30 years. They have no lives. They can tell you everything about Paul Revere and Sam Adams' personal life. I can't stand those guys, and I'm bringing them up because I think they're going to have a very, very busy Sunday. Do they only shoot them off after touchdowns?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So yeah, not even get it after a field goal.
So a game-winning field goal would not constitute a musket firing.
That's a good one. I'll have to go to the Pat Stats Research Info and Pyrotechnics Department after the podcast to find out. But
well, anyways, those guys are going to have a workout on Sunday. It's 42-3, Pats.
Wow. Mega, what do you got?
I've got 27-14, Pats. I think that this is finally the first game where the defense looks like the linebackers, the secondary have their act together. And I am heartened after watching Bills Dolphins last night by further heartened, I should say, by what the offense was able to do last week. I did wonder, okay, is this just Drake May when he is under so little pressure from that Dolphins defense? But after watching, you know, Thursday Night Football, I know it gets a little crazy, unpredictable, but I do feel stronger about the offense as the week goes on.
Same here. I'm going to go with that 27.9 average they've given up over the last 10 games. I have a closer game, though. I have the Pats 27, Steelers 23. I think Aaron gets a few over the middle. I think there's a couple of time-dominant possessions where he finds a way to get the first down. I like Roman Wilson. I like Calvin Austin. DK will get some, although hopefully there's a little bit of a hearkening back to the Belichick days of like shaking hands at midfield and being like, all right, well, we're just going to double you today and take you out. But I still think that he'll get some. The Pats are growing, Andrew. They're maturing. Last week was a big step. They learned how to win. Now they have to learn how to win two games in a row against a team that I think on reputation and paper, where the games aren't played, looks better than they actually are, or so you've laid out over the last 20 minutes. So that's what I got. Listen, folks, give them a follow at the Pony Express. You can use the Odyssey app. Listen to 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, obviously. He's got the podcast with Patrick Peterson, First and Pod. Give him a follow. He's a company favorite. He's an honest man and knows as much about the funny as he does football. So, Andrew Filippone, thank you very much for joining us today on the podcast, dude. It was an absolute pleasure. You came in and delivered 10 times over, and it's much appreciated. I hope it's a closer game. But then again, if this kind of bed crapping by the Steelers is what fires your fury on the radio, I hope you keep it up.
Well, one more thing. You can have Roman Wilson because this team has no use for him. So you said, hey, I like Roman Wilson. They don't. They actually brought in Isaiah Hodgins, who has bounced around the league.
Oh, my God.
It is collecting jerseys like he's Josh Johnson almost. He is here now, and Roman Wilson, who they drafted in the third round 2 years ago, is basically going back to your milk carton motif, like unable to be recognized or found on a sideline on Sunday. So there you go. More positivity with the Steelers. And just like usual, the Steelers will go to New England and lose, and they'll probably blame some BS reason like, oh, someone pulled a fire alarm at our hotel, or we were hearing the Patriots.
Headset's not working.
Exactly. Yeah. We were hearing Mego in our headsets during the game instead of
her voice is so annoying. How are we so shrill, to focus?
All right, that'll wrap our preview. And Andrew, thanks so much, guy. I appreciate you. That'll wrap up Behind Enemy Lines and our Pats preview podcast for Six Rings and Football Things. Of course, give him a follow at the Pony Express. She's at Megan_Ottolini. And this is your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens, saying thanks so much. Have a good day. God bless. Enjoy your football this weekend. And as always, go Pats.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.